I just wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, if you, you know, if you would have any ideas on how to fix this. I mean, how would, if you were in a position to do so,
yeah,
how would we ban, you know, first and foremost, I think that the, you know, getting thimerosal out of vaccines is just long overdue. And
well, I'll tell you what, let me tell you my thought on that, okay?
yeah.
So, you know, in the United States, the only vaccine that's still in is for pregnant women, right?
Right.
So, my theory on that is that the drug companies think if it's at least in that one vaccine, then no one could argue that it should be out of the other vaccines outside of the U.S.
Right.
So I don't know why they still give it to pregnant women. Like, that's the last person I would give mercury
Yeah,
to.
it just it makes absolutely no sense, and it's a full 25 micrograms. Even see in the infant formulations for the flu shot, which you know you're not supposed to get a flu shot until 6 months of age, the infant formulations have 12.5, but the maternal flu shot still has 25 micrograms, and it's given in any trimester.
Right.
And
So, well, so I still think, I don't know, I guess you didn't like the idea. I still think that starting a campaign that, you know, thimerosal from vaccines cause ticks. You start a campaign and you just make that your mantra. And I really do believe.
I do like that idea. I just, you know, it does cause ticks. The thing that is getting a little disconcerting is that I work with Focus Autism, and I work with the head of Focus Autism is a guy named Barry Siegel. Barry is his wealth came from a roofing company, roofing materials company called Bradco. And he recently wrote a letter to Thomas Friedan, and one of the things that, and I wrote the letter. I wrote the letter. So one of the things that we highlighted was that, you know, even with the CDC's publications, there hasn't yet been a publication except for Tozzi in 2009, where you've been able to obviate the relationship between thimerosal and ticks in boys. And so we get a letter back from Beth Bell. Do you know who she is?
Yep, I know who she is. Yep,
okay. And
she knows
it
who I am. We know
she
each
knows,
other.
you know, and it was like she didn't even read our letter, and she quoted the 2011 Institute of Medicine vaccine adverse events meetings and report. And 2011 IOM didn't even consider thimerosal. They were basically told by the CDC not to look at mercury. It wasn't a part of
Right,
their
and that
purview.
was that. Well, it was supposed to be, you know, they were working on the MVPO plan for a
Right.
long time, and that was being run by Larry Pickering. Larry Pickering ran the, you know, MVPO plan, and I thought I helped them write that. I thought they kept verbal, you know, verbal IQ and ticks in there. That's the last time I had looked at
No.
it, I thought it was in there.
What they did, and I have a tape transcript of this, Ellen Clayton, who was the chair for the Vaccine Adverse Events and Causality Committee, said specifically, we were not asked to look at mercury at all, and so we didn't. And this was at the petitioners in the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program have a yearly conference. And this particular year it was back in Oakland, And so they had, you know, specific presentations. You were able to get transcripts of the presentation. And I did. I got an MP3 of it, and I have it on transcript that she. So anyhow, I mean, what we're doing is we're going to go back, and I wrote a rebuttal to the letter that Beth Bell sent, you know, because there were a lot of things in there that were it was like.
Let me just tell you why Beth Bell wrote you. Do you know why she wrote you? Do you understand the structure?
A little bit, but go ahead and tell me anyway.
All right. They moved to quote-unquote make immunization independent of the immunization program.
Mm-hmm.
They moved it into a separate center. And
National Center of Emerging and Zoonotic Infectious Diseases, is that right?
Yeah. And so it's in a really silly place, but they did it theoretically because they were trying to make them independent groups.
Right.
But they are not independent at all. But so that's
mm-hmm.
the bottom line. So she's tight with all these people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have no doubt. But where do we push? I mean, you know, one of the things
let me just say. So I see a lot of your stuff online. I saw you interviewed Congressman Posey, is it?
Posey, yeah, right. That
yes.
was not my
so,
best interview. I basically was the king of and I was also breathing heavily in the phone. I did not do a good
job.
No,
I know, but I just think there has to be a mantra. And, it, you know, the mantra should be, we know thimerosal causes ticks. That's been demonstrated. That's been demonstrated in the big studies. And just keep saying that. We know thimerosal causes ticks because the CDC never says thimerosal doesn't cause ticks. The CDC always says thimerosal doesn't cause autism. So
right.
You have to take it off that. You have to take it off that. And I really do think it's a public relations campaign, but I also have to say, you know, these drug companies and their promoters, you know, they're making such a big deal of these measles outbreaks, and they, you know, now they're making a big deal that polio is coming back, and polio comes back all the time in third world countries. It's like a never-ending thing where the press just loves to hype it. And it scares people. It scares the crap out of people when they, you know, when they hype those two types of outbreaks.
Right.
But I think, you know, they teach you at the CDC, you have to stay on message. And the message that I think would start getting out, and then you wouldn't have the press jumping on you saying, well, vaccines don't cause autism. If you said, yeah, that's true, but vaccines do cause ticks. And then eventually you could get the message over to, oh, ticks are like five times as common among kids with autism or whatever the number is.
Right. It's about four times. But yes, absolutely.
Yes.
So I really do think it's
staying on message with something different than autism, because the press and everyone, you know, Jenny McCarthy, all those people, you bring up autism and vaccines and you just get hammered. Who's the company that was, you know, who sponsored one of your groups?
Oh,
Chili's.
Yeah.
I mean, Chili just got fried. They just completely got fried.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
So I think in the short term, you take it off to something that's true, and it's a different story. It's a different story.
Right.
And you can point to that Italy study and just look at the means, and the means are quite different in that study for ticks. I really do think that study actually supports the idea. And then the other thing about the Italy study was the only randomly assigned study, and it was a much smaller exposure. So if you find something in there, and they found two positive effects, right, if I'm recalling correctly.
Right.
You know, again, it's, you know, a study that randomly assigned, it's the only study I know where there was random assignment, and you found two negative associations, where it was increased likelihood of maternal, wasn't it the verbal IQ? I thought it was
verbal IQ. Right.
Yeah. It was verbal IQ, and I can't remember the other one.
TIC,
I'm telling you, if my recollection is correct, ticks were significant in earlier drafts of the paper.
Right. And what happened with that information request, they put it into the FOIA office.
Once it's in the FOIA, office, it's gone.
That's going to take forever.
No, I know. I mean, it's going to take 2 or 3 years, right? They tell me they're 2.5 years behind. They actually said with the POSI thing, they put it as treated as FOIA because he's not the head of a committee.
Right.
I think it's you got to come up with a different message where you won't get hammered and they can't deny it.
Right.
The only thing I know for sure is that I really can say that pretty confidently, vaccines cause ticks. And we replicated that. The Burreal article replicated that and showed that once you took into account the number of tests and reduced them down to constructs, the one thing you couldn't get to go away was the tick effect.
Right. I agree. And I'm even using that in my son's vaccine court case because he has ticks, and so we have that. And it's been confirmed, in several studies. Not to mention your study and then the Burreal study that was reanalysis in 2012. And I'll go back and I'll look at those means on TOSI as well. That's a good idea.
Look at the means. Yeah, look at the means. They're very close. You could do a simple t-test and see they're very close to significant.
Right.
The other thing I wanted to ask you, have you ever contacted Dr. Doria in South America, the person who's done the vaccine studies?
I'm in contact with Jose. Yeah, I'm in contact with Jose.
Is it a male or female?
It's a male. And then I believe that I don't believe the way that it goes, that his wife works with him as well.
Okay,
so there is a male and a female. Yes.
Right. So they're the two scientists that actually seem motivated and seem to try, wanting to study the problem.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they still are. But
I will. You make a good point, and because I'm looking at other scientists that do not have quote unquote tarnished reputations. To look at
that has their name on it, people immediately dismiss.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And the other thing, the other thing for you to consider is to find, a couple of scientists you trust.
That's true. So, I'm not very high on the list myself.
I'm just saying that if you're really serious about this.
Mm-hmm.
You find a couple of good scientists, and you walk them through what you're doing, and if you can convince a good scientist what you're doing makes sense, and then you encourage them to submit papers. And here's the other thing: is you got to get it out of the medical journals. You got to move it to the psychology journals. I don't know if you saw the Burreal article got published in a psychology journal. It wasn't actually, it was like pediatric psychology.
Right.
All right.
It was a journal of pediatric psychology. I saw that. Yeah.
Right. But if you get it out of the medical world and into the psychology world, you're not going to get as much bias from the medical establishment that has such a stronghold over these medical journals.
Right.
So
now,
that
makes a lot of sense. I'm not as well traveled in that realm. Is Journal of Pediatric Psychology a good one to look at?
Oh, it's a great journal. It's a very good journal, and we got great reviews from that journal. I'll tell you. So, they actually made us up. Our discussion, they actually said, why are you downplaying the association with Tex. So that's and they keep it back up.
See, this is the deal though. You're a straight shooter. I mean, when you did the 2007 paper and the 2012 follow up paper, you called a spade with these particular effects. And so, you know, this is why when I look at Steergreen was
Dr. Bernier's former graduate student.
That's right. You know, and one of the things I found out now, just to ask you the question, and to let you know, I did go to the Office of Oversight and Government Reform, ICE's office.
Yep.
I saw what had been turned over.
Yep.
I will say that over 50% of it came from you because I can tell what comes from you, and you know, I just know what you have. And so over 50% of it. And in fact, all I did was I got up to the C's, the letter C in the alphabet for your stuff. That was it. The rest of it is still, you know, being reviewed by the Office of the General Counsel somewhere. So I only got up to letter C on your deck. There was a lot of stuff. Now, I got kind of worried when I saw that, and I believe I know what's going on, but I saw that email that you forwarded that Office of General Counsel is trying to pull together, like, how much effort they've had to put on my FOIAs. I mean, that's... I'm not really, that didn't put me in my happy place. So do you think that they're just using that to go back to ISIS staff, or? Are you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Really? You know, her sending this email, the fact that that didn't come from someone who was a lawyer, it came from this woman, you know, who's just out of school and doesn't know her head from her ass. I mean, this is the type of stuff they do.
Right.
So, you know, they don't say who it's from. They just say OGC, they don't say...
Because I don't think that's in my FOIA case. In my FOIA case, there aren't any pending motions. The FOIA appeal right now, the next, you know, the decision basically comes from the appellate judge. And so we're, you know, both sides have presented their arguments in the appeal, and, you know, the appellate judge may come back and ask more information. So I don't think that has anything to do with the appeals case. I think it has to do with OGC does not want ICE's office to release any of that those documents to me. I've seen them. They would not let me take them out of their office, and I didn't. Believe you, I was tempted. I had like a half a gigabyte hard drive in my pocket that I could have whipped out when nobody was looking, and I didn't use it. I didn't. I wouldn't. I don't want to go to federal prison. And so,
No, you don't.
No. But this whole thing was very interesting. But I do think it has something to do with what's going on with ISIS, you know, with that information request. So.
Oh no, I think they want you as far away from those documents as possible.
Right.
So,
I mean, there were very compelling things in there, and you know it will be interesting to see what happens. We'll see. But I did want to ask. I pretty much completed the reanalysis on the DiStefano MMR study.
Yep.
And those spreadsheets that you sent me.
Yeah, I'm out here talking. What was that?
The spreadsheets that you sent me, race 1, race 2, and race 3, can I ask where those came from? Were those just ones that you had or where you had compiled results? Or?
Those were analyses I ran for a group, Every
okay.
single Excel spreadsheet you've seen, those
mm-hmm.
are analyses I ran for our group.
Okay.
Over several year period where I was presenting results to the group.
Right. Right.
So,
now
so
these were your analysis files, and then you had basically presented them directly to the group.
I would on a weekly basis meet with the four co-authors, and we would
mm-hmm.
discuss results. And you can see how those progressed over time. Those are
right.
I labeled the only way, you want to know the only way I was able to keep track of the dates on those files.
The servers
would change all the time, and they would change the dates on the files. And thank goodness I put the actual date in the name of the file.
Right.
Because
right.
otherwise you wouldn't know the week that I had done it.
No.
You do that later. Yeah. What was that? I was just talking to my daughter. So.
Oh, no, that's fine. No, that's fine. But the question I had, if you go to race three, then you had alternative models. You have a results tab. It's like the second tab that's in the spreadsheet, and it looks like on black on time. Okay, and the reason why I'm asking this is because I told you before, I got a really strong effect with African American males.
Yep.
And I saw the effect. It was statistically significant at 36 months as well as 24 months.
Yep.
It wasn't as high as at 24, obviously. It was like 1.73
yep.
or something. So
yep.
That black on time, do you know, was this just a conditional logistic regression that was matched?
Yeah, it was
okay.
a conditional logistic regression.
Okay, so the numbers then, the way I understand this, the odds ratios that you came up with, then if you just ran it as on time, then you would get a specific odds ratio, but would that be assigned to 36 month cutoff, or how would that work?
No, on time would be, if I'm remembering correctly, and I don't have it sitting in front of me, on time
okay.
would have been that they would have been vaccinated by 24 months of age, right? They would have been vaccinated by the recommended date.
By the recommended, okay. And then it looks like you did this unmatched and probably also conditional logistic regression, and then it
yeah.
went up just by a little bit. They were basically the same. They were basically the
yep.
same in each one.
Yep.
So did you ever run that, did you slice it further just to look at African American males?
My guess is I did, but I can't recall. Honestly, the only thing, in terms of memory, like I can look at those files and I know I ran those things. I don't know what else I ran. I could
right.
look, I could look through the SAS programs. I've never looked through those historically, but I believe
sure.
I have them historically. I think they're I think they're there. I can't
mm-hmm.
remember off the top of my head. So
yeah.
the way I remember things is I dump them into files and I save them and I can go back and review them.
Yeah, review them. Okay. Yeah. Would you be able to do that? I mean,
I can correct on the SAS program.
Okay. Now and one of the things that I did find in this weird, is that when I use the 6 month cutoff, for African American males, I only had 7 cases after 36 months. Okay, so the
yep.
cohort was getting small.
Yep.
I had 7 cases, and I can't remember how many controlled. And then obviously the lion's share of the cases were for individuals that got the MMR before 36 months. Now,
yep.
when I wanted to correct for low birth weight, so I threw out low birth weight. But what I found was that in my cases, after the cases in the individuals that got the MMR after 36 months, I wasn't throwing low birth weight. I was throwing out individuals that didn't have a birth weight reported at all. So So you basically look at that, and it was essentially the same as the birth certificate cohort. Does that make sense? Let me I can explain it one other way. When you look at the data, and you look at African American cases of autism, there are 7 cases. There are 4 cases that did have a birth certificate and that were normal birth weight, and then the 3 remaining cases didn't have a birth certificate, so they didn't have birth weight information at all.
That were vaccinated late.
And so I did not, I did not include that in my analysis because I felt like a cohort that had, less than 5 cases in it, I just didn't want to include.
Yeah, you're going to be criticized if you did for that small one.
Right, So I threw that particular one out. Don't take this as a criticism. I'm just trying to understand what was in the paper. Let me
clarify for you. You can criticize the hell out of this. I don't think it was perfect, and I will tell you, we were locked in to analyses. That's the problem with all of this, is we agreed up front what, actually, in this paper we deviated from what we agreed to up front. So
right.
Go ahead. So criticize
right.
away.
But the only thing, if you look at the final paper, when they looked at the effect of race, they only looked at the effect of race in the birth certificate cohort.
I know.
That doesn't seem right to me. Why would you toss out you don't need a birth certificate? You don't need a birth certificate.
I agree. I thought you found that immediately. You told me you found that immediately.
Yes, I did find that immediately, but I wasn't sure. I want to go back to these things. I'm not, Bill, I'm not an epidemiologist by training.
No. I know, but I just want to say that you found what I consider the biggest problem. So here's what I want to be careful of, okay?
Yes.
I want to be careful of not, here's what I want to say is, like if I were forced to testify or something like that, I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't want to say things to you right now that aren't some written form.
Right.
I want to be very careful about that. And I will say, if I'm forced, if it comes through legitimate channels and I'm forced to answer questions, I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
I basically have stopped lying. So
did you raise that issue at the time were you allowed to see the
I raised final? This I will say I raised this issue. I will say I raised this issue the 2 days before. The fact that I can talk honestly to you about this now is so freeing. So I'll just say that.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Okay. Well, let me check. I jotted down a few notes on this. Have you ever been to? One of the things that I noticed when I was back in D.C. going through the documents at OGR, and you've told to me several times, nobody's stupid enough to put in an email to
Never.
Oh, you need to dilute down this relationship.
Never. Never.
Or get rid of this relationship.
Never.
But never. What is said in these closed door meetings? I mean, do people say, oh, well, this is unacceptable, or is it just, do they always say, oh, this can't be right, or?
I wish I could tell you the quote that was said, but there is a specific quote about this very finding that will be etched in my head for life.
Okay, and you don't have to tell me it. That's fine. I'm
not
going to
tell you it. It was one of the other co-authors.
Okay.
And it is
okay.
Etched in my head for life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you've given me a lot to think. You always give me so much to think about. I want to go back and I want to think about this whole issue with ticks. If I was to press the soft spot in the CDC in terms of, like, submitting a response letter, I think the response letter will come back, and I'm going to sign it, and we're going to get some other scientists to sign off on the letter as well as Barry Siegel. But one of the things that I have thought, you know, regarding Thimerosal is it should go to Frieden, because Frieden could be the guy to save the day. I mean, he's got clean hands, I think.
He does have clean hands, but I don't know where he stands on all this. I really don't.
Okay.
I do think this. This is what I think Frieden has done. I think he has closed himself off from all of this and avoids it and says, you know, this is Colleen Boyle's and Melinda Wharton's problem. So,
really,
I think. Well, that's what I'm guessing. I don't know that for sure. That this is just a political hot potato, and they made a lot of mistakes, and you know,
yeah,
there's a lot of documents they don't want you to see, and mm-hmm. you know that what I was relieved about, you know, when I sent you what the NCIRD did in terms of their request, they don't usually include, you know, Melinda Wharton and Kristen Pope in those requests. They usually just include David Shea and I. So, you know, we're often the targets of all the FOIAs, and they don't make it broader. And what I find even funnier is Kristen Pope is the person directing this document gathering. So,
how
Kristen Pope,
odd.
What?
How
oh, I
odd.
Know. She is sick. She was sick and deep into all of this. She was the go-between. All the communication went from me to Brooke Berry to Kristen. So everything
and
was
Kristen,
filtered through Kristen. And
yeah,
Kristen and reports to Melinda Wharton. And it's still the case. So
and it wasn't really
Melinda.
Kristen. Brooke was the one that really could not stand me. Brooke Berry could not stand, you know, I would get on the phone with her, and for the longest time, I would deal with Lorene Spencer, and bless her heart, I mean, she did the best she could possibly do with me, and you know, I was not a nice person. I was a very, very angry person when I was dealing with Lorene Spencer, but it's interesting to see that Kristen is still kind of in the middle of that, because, you know, when things got sort of switched around and I was no longer dealing with Lorene Spencer, then I was dealing with Kristen Pope and Brooke Berry. So,
yeah, and I have to tell you, Kristen and Brooke knew I was sitting on a lot of documents, and when I shared all these documents,
mm-hmm.
I actually... Brooke Berry is probably, I mean, you saw my email. She's probably the only person I trusted to give me a straight answer.
Yeah.
I went over to her office and I said, I hear they want us to share everything. And she said, yep, they want us to share everything. So,
wow.
You know,
okay.
it was a situation where it was the first time they said they want everything associated with any Thimerosal study.
But they do want this. They are arm wrestling with oversight and government reform right now. I mean, big time. I've gone back and forth. I get calls from oversight and government reform staff, and they'll have a list of questions for me. They want to know about the litigation because CDC is claiming attorney-client privilege. And
they're trying to box you out.
That's fine. I've got.
No, I know.
Yeah, I'm sitting on a mountain. Yeah. It's all right. But
here's what you have to do, honestly, and I'm telling you from the way I've changed my life. Here's what you have to do is you just have to try not to get emotions involved. Stay
mm-hmm.
as settled and sound as you can be. Talk to people about how to market this fact that thimerosal causes ticks.
You're
okay?
Right.
It's a marketing thing. It is
right.
All about marketing. And you have to learn how do you get a message out? And I'm telling you, if you take autism out of it, you will get that message out. And once you get that message out, do you think a pregnant mother would want to take a vaccine that they knew caused tics?
Absolutely not. No,
absolutely
no.
Not. I would never give my wife a vaccine that I thought caused tics.
Right, right. I mean, it's genius. It's genius. I, you know, you've told me this before. It just didn't sink in. So okay.
But it's a marketing thing. It's a marketing thing. You have to figure out how to market this, and it has to come from other voices. It can't just come from you because they made you the poster boy of, you know, they want to portray you as crazy, and, you know, I honestly think you're. You know, you've been persistent. You have been right, I will say, most of the time. I will say the Geyers were not right, and the Geyers, you know the Geyers. I don't know them personally, but
sure.
I know things they did. You know, they took exact copies of papers we wrote, and they published them under their own name. So, you know, word for word, and I do.
Okay.
I just
okay. Yeah, I know a little bit about that, but yeah. Okay.
So,
well,
anyways,
listen.
I. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just. I just want to get back to that.
Okay.
Stay on message. Stay on a message that the press won't jump on you for.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
And get other people to say it. You have to get other scientists to say it because, again, you're the poster child for this crazy person bothering the CDC, making their life so difficult. La-di-da-di-da.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Hey, this has been extremely helpful. If you do get a chance, if you can look at your SAS output and see if you ever did
that. I'll forward you lots of programs. Okay.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks, Bill.
Take care.
Good talking. Yep. Bye-bye.